Notice that I have the scripture reading tonight. Very convenient. He said to see myself, so I've got that covered. Our scripture reading tonight is going to come from the book of Jeremiah, if you want to be turning there. Looking at Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verses 9 and 10. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Just as Will started this morning, I'll start with disclaimers tonight too. I recognize all the faces except for a couple, so I am not the preacher. I may look like one, but I'm not the preacher. But I do love having the opportunity to get up and speak. I've been fighting some high blood pressure, and Mitch asked me last week, he said, are you sure that you're ready, going to be ready to speak next Sunday night. And you know, my blood pressure's probably up a little bit now, you know. There's always a little bit of butterflies when you speak. Any of the men who speak always have some butterflies. But if my blood pressure's high and I go tonight because of that, what a way to go is the way I look at it, you know. So that doesn't bother me. You know, what I hope tonight is just as Will said this morning, when you do these lessons, I think it's always more helpful to yourself than it is to anybody else because you study and you learn, and I hope it's encouraging to you that, you know, maybe I can say something that you haven't thought about or give you a new perspective on something. Tonight, the first thing I'm going to say is that I'm going to guess that everybody in here tonight probably gets their news locally and around the world, probably with the aid of a computer, maybe your TV, your smartphone, maybe you listen to the radio, maybe you read newspapers, maybe it's magazines. And I'm going to guess that a large majority of you also get your entertainment from a couple of those things I mentioned, like your smartphone, your TV, or your computer, you use those things for entertainment. Now I'm going to venture another guess. I'm going to bet that when you're listening to your TV or to your radio or when you are looking at your smartphone, I'm going to bet at some point every day you're sitting there being entertained and all of a sudden there's all of these commercials come across and you go, wow, I'm really messed up. There's something wrong with me. Because they're telling you that you are not satisfied, right? Every time an advertisement comes on, they're telling you, you know, you need this, you need that, you don't look good enough. There's something wrong with you. Every time they're out there trying to get you. And you know, you say, why do these thoughts keep coming in my mind? And the obvious reason is that these advertisers, that's how they make their living. They want you to be discontented, right? They do not want you to be satisfied. They want you to be unsatisfied with your life. They want you to go buy this or they want you to go buy that. You know, they just continuously bombard you with all of these things that you need. And it might not even just be the advertisers. It might be your best friend. It's like, man, you got to try this, you know. You need this. What you're doing is not good enough. You've got to do it better. Golfers. Now, there's a few of us in here that are golfers. You know, they come on. You got to have this new club. TaylorMade makes a club now. They call the something that's 17 yards further with a 3-wood. You know, they tell you, you got to have it. And any of us that are golfers, 17 yards is a long way, especially for those of us who don't hit it that far anymore. So 17 more yards, go buy this new club. Cars. You know, I remember when I got my Corvette. A year later after I got my Corvette, I got a call from the dealership and they said, you know, we've got a new ZR1 model in here. You need to come down and look at this thing. And I'm sitting there thinking, I've got 400 horsepower that'll go 192 or 93 miles an hour, and they want me to get something that's got another 100 horsepower or so I can go 195 or 198 miles per hour. You know, they were trying to lure me in, is that you need another 100 horsepower. Energy drinks. All the time on TV, 5-hour energy drink or all of these energy drinks, you know, what you're doing not good enough. You need a little bit more energy. When you get up in the morning, forget that cup of coffee, just swig down an ounce or two of 5-hour energy drink. And I may be stepping on some toes, but I'm sorry, you know, that it's that advertisement. It's clothes. The clothes you've got aren't good enough. You need that perfect body. Hey, you got to change your hair color. Get rid of that gray, you know? Go with something else. Your teeth are not white enough. Hey, let's put some strips on and wear them. They've even gone so far as to tell us that our dogs should not be eating what we've been feeding them since we were kids. Have you seen the commercial for Blue Buffalo dog food? And what it talks about is it says the first thing on there is it's not cornmeal. You know, that's the third or the fourth ingredient. You know, since I was a kid, dogs have been eating dog food and doing fine, I thought. But, you know, they're trying to tell us that your dogs can't be satisfied. They need the real stuff. Well, we know that if we look in Matthew 6 and 33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, food, shelter, etc., shall be added unto you. We also know in 1 Timothy 6 and 6, says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So you're sitting here thinking, so he's going to talk about contentment tonight. No, I'm not. I'm not going to talk about contentment. What I want to talk about, because, and I'm seeing the heads nod out there, is that I'm going to suggest to you tonight that the advertisers are doing the same thing with various forms of communication to keep you discontented, and Satan is involved in it, and he's using similar tactics to bring and disguise and put little sins and evils in your life. And what kind of sin am I talking about? Initially, I was going to talk about the obvious big sins, you know, murder, adultery, lying, cheating, stealing, blaspheming, drunkenness, those type of things, because, you know, whether you're a Christian or not, certainly most people recognize those big sins are a no-no. And, you know, and unfortunately these days, I'm not so sure people even recognize that. You know, it becomes the accepted norm. But withstanding that thought, you know, we as Christians know that those are unacceptable sins. So today, what I really want to focus on is something that the world is constantly pushing on a daily basis, which I think exposes us to more danger than these big sins. And I'm just calling them little sins or evils, which do have that tendency to just slowly creep into our lives unnoticed. And you might say, well, what do you mean? How are you letting those little things creep into your life? Well, let's see. Do you think it could be because we in America are being dumbed down? And I don't mean to offend anybody, you know, by saying we're being dumbed down, but unfortunately, we are being dumbed down because the world keeps accepting lower standards, and what do? We have a tendency to just go with the flow. right? You know, and what do you mean go with the flow? For instance, language. Talked about language before. Whether it be TV, whether it be movies, whether it be the radio, magazines or books, or the company that you keep. There's so much foul language out there anymore. And we tend to become immune to it. And sometimes people will say things, and I've mentioned it before, I don't even hear it because, you know, it's just in one ear and out the other because that's the way they talk, and I just try to ignore it. But Mitch said it, I think it was last week, you know, those things creep in on you, and then when somebody pulls out in front of you, all of a sudden, whoa, where did that word or thought come from in your mind? Because you've been hearing it, you know, with the people that you are friends with. TVs and movies. What about the storylines? Storylines these days, for the most part, are garbage. They are absolutely garbage. You know, there are not that many good stories out there anymore, unfortunately. If you listen to radio or TV or music, you know, the words and the thoughts that are in that music are just, it's unbelievable what people sing about anymore in the music. The advertisers use the movies, the TVs, magazines, etc. for the clothes you wear, you know. Hey, that's not good enough. Your friends, the same thing. You're looking at these clothes. You've got to have something else. And if you look at how immodest some of the clothes are these days, they're just, it's unbelievable what they keep pushing. They keep making it a norm that you don't have to wear anything when you go out in public. Food. How many of you seen the Carl's Jr. commercial here recently of the girl eating the hamburger in the front seat at the drive-in movie? It's terrible. I mean, it's soft porn. It's got a girl eating a hamburger, and she's got all kinds of cleavage showing in the front seat of that car. It's absolutely disgusting, you know, that they think they have to sell soft porn or sex to get me to eat a hamburger. Unfortunately, Carl's Jr. is where we go every Sunday after church for the combo meal. You know, that's our thing, Sunday afternoons. Carl's Jr. combo meal, extra well done on the fries. And, you know, we decided after seeing that commercial, we're through with Carl's Jr. right now. I protest Carl's Jr. and what they're doing there. I actually sent them an email last week. And just told them that I thought it was very inappropriate. I told them they didn't need to have soft porn / sex to sell a hamburger. It's good food. You don't need to do that. I got a response from them. It says, CKE Restaurants Incorporated, owner and franchisor of Carl's Jr. and Hardee's Restaurants, adopts a creative approach to our advertising. We do not aim to offend anyone with our efforts, but merely to offer entertaining content. We understand that not everyone may view our advertising the same way, so we respect all views and welcome all comments which are forwarded to senior management. I mean, guys, it's terrible, you know, that they've got to do that. And, you know, we have an opportunity to make a difference in little things like that. We don't have to go by Carl's Jr. My little combo meal is not going to break them, but over time it will, because I've talked to a couple other people, and I know, like my daughter said, there's no way, you know, because they didn't like them before because of some of their advertisements, and now I think they've gone over the line. If we look at advertisement and movies, TV, etc., in regards to marriage, hey, there's no need for marriage. Let's just live together. No need for it. How about gay lifestyle? You know, especially in, I'll say, in the past 10 years. You can't watch a TV show, you can't go to a movie that it doesn't have some gay person in it. They just think it has to be put in there because that's, you know, Hollywood has such a prevalent lifestyle with gay people involved in it. And they just think that it's got to be there. How many of you last week read some of the stuff on Kirk Cameron. You know who he is. He used to be on Growing Pains. He was a kid on Growing Pains. And as he grew up, he's, you know, what's called, he calls himself a born-again Christian. But he always had problems with some of the things that they tried to put into the show when he was younger. And he was on the Piers Morgan program last week. And he said he thought it was detrimental and ultimately destructive to so many of the foundations of civilization in regards to the gay lifestyle. Boy, did that start a frenzy in Hollywood, if some of you saw that. You know, everybody was down on him. The director of GLAAD, spelled with two A's, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, came out and said on this show TMZ, he believes Cameron is out of step with a vast majority of Americans, particularly people of faith who believe their gay and lesbian brothers and sisters should be loved and accepted based on their character and not be condemned because of their sexual orientation. Says we're out of touch. Certainly we love our brothers and sisters, even if they happen to be gay. I don't condone the orientation of their sexual lifestyle, but certainly I love them because God says we should love all creatures, right? In a response, Cameron said this week, he said he was tired of being told from those who preach tolerance, this being the gay and lesbian groups, that I need to either bend my beliefs to their moral standards or be silent when I'm in public. Wrong. We are too tolerant as Christians. We absolutely let little things just keep sliding under the carpet. We don't do anything. You know, just sending this email to Carl's Jr., not a big deal, but if everybody did that, we could make a difference in this world if we start standing up and addressing those little things. And I could go on and on. You know, it's just a ton of things out there. But people, we got to wake up and we got to be on our toes, because I tell you what, Satan is slick. Remember in Genesis, what did he say? Surely ye shall not die. When Eve was in the garden, right? Oh, really? Surely you shall not die. Satan was a liar from the beginning. He's a liar today. And God has not changed his word. 2 Peter 3:9 said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Unless I've missed something, the Bible hasn't changed. It still says a sin is a sin. I don't care what the world says. Sin is sin. So, if you're going to tell me I'm out of touch with the world, please do. I'm okay with that. I'm okay in being out of touch with the world. But unfortunately, we as humans have a tendency to be pulled towards the world, right? Because we want to be part of the group. We can't help it. It's our human side. And we just kind of go with the flow. Have you ever been swimming in the ocean or in a lake or in a river and you're floating on a raft and you're just kind of laying there and are just floating on your back and you're just taking it easy and enjoying the nice cool water on a hot day or something, and all of a sudden you kind of think, wow, I better look where I'm at, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm a quarter of a mile from where I used to be, you know, and you didn't even realize it, right? You were just slowly drifting out there and getting pulled downstream. The flow of the world works the same way, brothers and sisters. It's the same thing. They just slowly start pulling us, and we don't even know they're pulling us, and they're just slowly pulling us along there because we keep accepting lower standards. It's okay, you know, that this movie's got this in it, it's got that in it. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. And you know, as you keep getting slowly pulled along there, sometimes what happens if you're in the ocean, how many of you have been in a riptide? You know, you're going along there and all of a sudden, bam, you're getting sucked out to sea in a riptide, just like that. And the same thing happens with the slow tow that's going on in our world, is that we don't realize it, that we're slowly getting pulled, and all of a sudden, that current turns into a ripside and we're being sucked out to sea. And, you know, we have to make a conscious decision to not get pulled into riptides, into slow currents that are pulling us towards the world. You got to paddle. You got to take evasive action so that you don't get sucked in. You know, what killed the cat? Remember that old phrase? Curiosity killed the cat, right? 1 Peter 5 and 8, it says what? See, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. They're doing it to us. He's doing it. I'm telling you, he's doing it with the things that are going on in our world today with advertisement. Let's open our Bibles to Romans, the first chapter, looking at verse 18 through 32. I just want to scan through there. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who surpass the truth in unrighteousness. And then I'm going to skip down to 21. It says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 23 talks about exchanging the glory of the incorruptible God for an image or a form of corruptible man, you know, idols. Verse 24, God gave them over to their lust because of what they were doing. Verse 25, you know, they're not worshiping God. They're worshiping other things. Verses 26, 27 there, talking about the gay lifestyle that people are living. Verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind. Then being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, on and on. And in verse 32, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to them who practice such. Personally, I'm going to say that I don't believe that the devil is wasting much time on some of the people we were reading about here. Brothers and sisters, I think the devil is concentrating on Christians. Why does he have to bother with the people we just read about? They've got depraved minds. He's not working on them. They're being sucked into the riptide and they're gone. It's our job to reach out to them, certainly, but he is not spending his time on these people who are doing these things. He's spending his time working on us in sitting in this building tonight. Absolutely. That's what he's concentrating on. Okay, so we understand that Satan is not wasting his time on the sinners of the world. He's out here working on Christians. So what are we to do? You know, how are we to deal with what Satan's doing to us? You know, I think we have to have faith, hope, and love. And we have to sharpen our sword daily. So, how do we sharpen our sword daily? Will talked about it this morning. One of the things we have to do is prayer. You know, if we look at Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 6 and 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay, so we've got to pray. That's one way to sharpen our sword daily. That builds us up, and we know that God answers prayer. Mel and I were talking about it this morning in regards to prayer. And Will was kind of hitting on this too. Is when you pray, you know, we're told to pray, and we're to pray continuously. How many times do you just pray and, you know, you're just praying? Do you really believe when you pray that what you're asking for is going to come true? Do you believe that? You've got to pray earnestly, as Will said this morning. Believe in prayer. We have to read and study God's Word is the next thing we have to do. Some of you have probably read The Art of War by Sun Tzu. You know, it's got all kinds of very interesting sayings in it in regards to battles. You know, and one thing it says in there is that the battle's won before you go out on the battlefield. And how do you do that? You know, and it gives you insight to, hey, you study your enemy. You know, you look at how you're going to fight the battle. You do all this planning. You do all of it beforehand, and you've won the battle before you ever go out onto the battlefield. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy word is the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word helps us fight these battles. Let's open to Ephesians 6 and 10. And this is a familiar passage. And I'll go through it quickly because time's going quickly. starting at verse 10 through 17. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might to put on the full armor of God so you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Our battles are not against the people of the world so much. The battles with those things that are not seen, Satan and those higher powers, the evils that are out there, that's who the battles are with, not with the people next door to you. The battles are with Satan. Looking at verse 16, you know, going through the armor we're putting on, it says, "Take up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." That's an important one, because the flaming arrows or darts that I'm thinking about are all of this stuff I started with, the advertisement, etc., that's going on in this world. You need to put your shield up and you need to realize what they're doing to you, because they're sucking you in. You can't let them suck you in. You've got to get your shield up there. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit." First Thessalonians 5, 4 through 8. Turn over there real quick. Just a couple of those. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation." As Christians in this world, we're going to have battles. We're going to have small battles. We're going to have large battles, daily, weekly. They're going to come. Satan's out there, so we are going to have battles. And unfortunately, as a Christian, we have to live in the world, right? We don't have any choice. We can't go to a safe room you know, where we can just cover our eyes and not live in the world. You know, a safe room if you're down south or in the places where tornadoes are, that's the new thing now with new houses is they build safe rooms that you can go inside and close the door and the tornado may take the whole house away, but that safe room is anchored in the foundation, et cetera, you know, where the tornado is not going to take you. It's just like having storm cellars before, if you've ever been around those. So, you know, there is no safe room in this world, but there is a safe haven, our storm shelter, our a bunker in this world. And, of course, we know that that's in our Savior, that's in God, that's in His Word. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." And, you know, it says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then John 10, 27 through 30 says, "What? My sheep shall hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall not perish. And my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand." Why? Because my Father and I are one. So we can take comfort in knowing as we fight these big battles or these small battles, there is a safe heaven in this world. And we're told in Matthew 10, 28, it says what? It says, you know, don't fear the person or someone that can take your body. It says, fear that can take your body and soul to hell, right? So we know that if we've got God in our lives, we can fight these battles, and we know we do have a safe haven. We've got to have the Spirit of God flowing through our life, and we've got to thrive with Him in our life. If we listen to the world and we fill our life with worldly satisfaction, we're just going to sputter. You're not going to make it. You're going to sputter along there. James 4, 7 and part of verse 8 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and what? He will draw nigh to you. Seek God, pray to God, he will draw nigh to you." Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be of any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Remember the old saying, you younger guys, ladies won't remember this, from the Esso or Exxon, when we were all learning to drive, and some of us were driving a lot longer before that, Harold, that said, it touted, "Put a tiger in your tank." How many of you remember that? Remember that? Put a tiger in your tank. Well, you know, today what I want to ask you is this. What are you putting in your tank? And actually, to be more specific, what I want to ask you is, what are you putting in your heart? Remember, our mind is our scriptural heart, right? Our heart and our mind are one. And as we read in the Bible and we talk about putting things in your heart, we know that heart is our scriptural, the heart, you know, is our mind, but it's that scriptural mind. And what do we know? Garbage in, garbage out, right? Just like your computer. Garbage in, garbage out. The same thing works with your heart. Garbage in, garbage out. Proverbs 4 and 23, familiar, says, "Keep thy heart with diligence, for what? For out of it are all of the issues of life." Romans 12 and 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. What are you putting in your tank? Are you putting this in it? Are you putting the garbage in it that's around you in the world? Are you sifting out the good and turning away the bad? Tonight, as I offer the invitation, I want to use an example. A lot of us here travel in business, and many of us vacation a lot. And those that are retired get to vacation a lot. Mike, you know, maybe one of these days I'll be able to go with you and Sandy and do all of these things. And that's great. But, you know, have you ever been just traveling and are working and you're out of town and you just can't wait to get back to the hotel room, take a shower, and go climb in bed and feel those really crisp, clean sheets? How does that feel on a really long day when you're really tired, even if you're not traveling? You go home, you take a bath, you're ready for bed, and you think, man, this really feels good when I get in between these new, clean, crisp, good-smelling sheets. Isn't that a refreshing feeling? Well, you know what? It's the same feeling when you put your Savior on in baptism, or if you have sins in your life and you need to get rid of those sins. Put on those new sheets. Have that cleaned feeling. So tonight, if there's anything that we can do, someone who needs baptism or you have sins that you need to have repented of, or prayers of the church, please come forward as we stand and sing.